This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Monday. Yeah, we're back. Of course we're back. Why would you not think we would be back? Just because every week between Christmas and New Year, since we began this show, we've been off, haven't we, Jeffrey? This is the first time we've done this?
This is the first time in my career, yes.
Yeah.
We're usually off for bowl games.
And are you doing the afternoon show as well?
Indeed,
and,
Jeff.
Now, is this a sign? The fact that we are, we got the email from Brad, and we're like, okay, here are the days off this Christmas, and it was last Thursday and Friday.
Correct.
And then it was this Thursday and Friday.
Correct.
Notably absent on the email was Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday.
Indeed.
And so you're back for your show as well?
Correct.
How do you feel about this? I think it shows a good, listen, this is a good, you know, sign of strong work ethic heading into new January 1, right?
Of course.
You don't want to pick yourself up on New Year's Day and have to look at the wreck that 2025 became and the size of your belly, your triglycerides, whatever, like your paycheck, you've spent all your money on everything, gambling probably, but maybe Christmas or booze, whatever. Yeah, you want to. And thinking, okay, I gotta change my work ethic. I gotta change my priorities.
Right.
I need a list of 25 resolutions. No, what you want to do is go headlong into the new year, already having gained some momentum by having worked Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday before the new year.
With that being said, Kalani Sitake in the post game of the Pop-Tarts Bowl,
I saw him. He said
something that spoke to me.
What did he say?
I still have 8 pounds to gain before your New Year's resolution. So I did think, like, hey, you cannot gain the weight. You can't lose the weight until you gain it first.
That's a fair point. You can't. Was he commenting on his?
So they were asking if he'd had too many Pop-Tarts.
Eating of the Pop-Tart.
Correct. And he said, no, I'm still good. I still got 8 pounds to gain before New Year's resolution.
He broke off this chunk. It was the upper right-hand corner of the Pop-Tart.
He did a fist, like he was just going straight through it. And then you're like, it doesn't look like that much. And then it covered both of his hands.
Yeah, it's covered both of his hands.
Correct.
And he just, it was.
Like a smash cake.
It was like a two-year-old, like a one-year-old.
Yes, no,
would eat
smash
a Pop-Tart.
Cake, yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, did you gain weight over this holiday?
Oh, I think undoubtedly.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I did. I went to church yesterday, Idlewild Presbyterian. We'll see you there, folks, in the new year if you need to if you need a church home. I went yesterday, and I did notice that my pants
a little snug,
O'Call,
a little tight.
That's a terrible feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's uncomfortable, A.
Correct. You're going to have to sit there.
And it's also a reprimand. It is a constant commentary on your failure as a human being. And it is uncomfortable.
Yeah, and then on top of that, you have to worry, like, is this button going to fight for its life? is this a
little bit snug.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, today on the radio show.
By the way, speaking of church issues,
The
last two church appearances. So Christmas Eve, yeah. I was on the air. Aaliyah reports back.
When you were on the air that morning?
So, no, the 24th? In the afternoon.
Oh, in the afternoon. Uh-huh. Yeah.
We went to my family went to the 3 o'clock Christmas Eve service.
Oh, okay.
So obviously I was on the air. Leah reported back that Josephine refused to go to nursery or whatever, you know, like the child care. And so I'm like, all right, well, maybe that's just because we both weren't there. Well, yesterday.
What does refusal look like?
Refusal looks like her standing in the middle of the hallway, arms folded, bottom lip out.
Well, what if she, what happens? I don't, the old tough love. What happens if you just take her there and leave her?
Then we feel guilty, not because she's crying.
Because
we feel guilty that
people.
we went toss sweep, like, here, you deal with her.
Wouldn't she? But the problem is if you give in, will she ever go to church again?
Well, so that's the problem, because I was explaining this to my mother-in-law. We're at that weird stage of previously, if you try to really discipline, she doesn't really know what's going on. But I think now we're getting to the point where she recognizes if I do this, I get this result. So therefore, I think we need to establish some negative consequences.
It's too bad, though, that church, you want church to be a place that she would run into, like her daycare center.
Right, you know? But normally she does love that.
I'll say there were parts, and my kids are now in their 20s, and they're trying to figure it out, and you look back, and you think about what would you do differently, and there are lots of things that I would do differently while also acknowledging that I was basically just doing the best I could at every point. But there are lots of things I do differently. One of the things is that the whole concept of timeout eluded me and the kids. Like, you'd put them in wherever they were for timeout,
right.
And you know what my kids would do? They would leave. They didn't
right.
see any reason why they had to hang out there.
It's the Cartman. I mean, what?
What do you mean, timeout? What's this?
No.
In the end, I'd have to go into Ben's room where he was in timeout at age 3 or 4, whatever it was, and I'd have to sit there in his room with him with my back to the door. Otherwise, he'd just try to force it open.
Right.
And there was one time we said, well, we'll lock the door. Well, you don't lock. And he had these blocks, and the next thing you know, heavy blocks banging against the
Correct.
Door. Like, the idea that someone would just go sit nicely in timeout.
Right.
Always eluded me. But
right. Usually if a kid would actually do that, that's probably a kid that doesn't need time out.
Maybe. I mean, they've worked out. My boys are all nice. They're all nice. They're
well,
kind.
To
they,
your point,
whatever,
though,
but it's not.
Parenting's kind of like gambling in that you remember the losses a lot more than you remember the wins.
Like gambling.
Yeah.
Parenting like gambling. Give me a highlight and a low light. Oh, today on the radio show, we're going to have Chris Harrington. We think. Because, again, this is the first time we've done this week, so I presume he knows that we're doing the radio show.
Yeah, I told him last week, no Thursday, Friday, back Monday.
Right, back Monday. So I presume he does. I don't know where physically he is, because if he's in Minnesota, and I know he was headed here for Christmas, I think he's here, which is lucky for him, because there's a blizzard in Minnesota, and last I checked, 121 vehicles off the road.
Jeez.
Yesterday, total nightmare in terms of snow across the country. 30,000 by Sunday evening, last I checked, 30,000 flights delayed, 1,500 flights canceled. So I don't know whether his family drove in blizzard conditions back to Minnesota as he is ensconced here, but we're going to hope to get Chris Harrington to talk about the Grizzlies straight up at 10 o'clock. Otherwise, it is just us. Yeah, give me a highlight or a low light from your holiday season.
Highlight was, in general, Josephine just had a massive Christmas.
That's
I mean, the between, we got a, I asked my wife, in hindsight, this might not have been a good thing. We got her like a handheld microphone that also is like essentially a karaoke machine.
Does
a right really need a microphone? Like, we're pretty good without
early.
It. But then she also got this floor keyboard. So at one point she was like doing the big floor keyboard while singing into a karaoke mic at the same time. That was electric. And then the low light is just the amount of driving, like, back and forth, back and forth. But, I mean,
you're not even divorced.
No.
If you're divorced and you have kids, then you're schlepping between 17 different families. GP used to tell me this, that when you want to limit that for your kids. You know what I
mean?
For sure. They shouldn't pay the price. And, again, I was a divorced dad. So they shouldn't pay the price that the parents pay by having to, you know, touch base at seven different family gatherings, whatever else. So I get that. My highlight, okay, I'll pick out one. I mean, honestly, the single best thing was Christmas Eve. We were at my sister's in Connecticut. And to have all three of my boys under the same roof as me when I go to sleep on Christmas Eve is really nice because, you know, typically two of them are in New York, one of them is Chattanooga, one of them will be home, two of them be home, whatever. Maybe they'll stay
work
at my
schedules,
house.
Who knows?
Julia's house. Maybe I get one. But to have all three boys sleeping under the roof with me on Christmas Eve was lovely. But then I would also hold up, I had a bagel and lox from Russ and Daughters. If any of you are,
is this a Connecticut establishment?
No, it's in New York. Because we went to New York as well. We saw a show in New York, whatever else, a show called Maybe Happy Ending. But anyway, so the morning of the 26th, bagel and lox from Russ and Daughters. Just spectacular.
Hit the spot. Do they toast that bagel? How do they do it?
Toasted with you know, it's got the
cream cheese,
the capers, the tomato, the onion, whatever. And now I screwed it up such that the woman behind the counter asked where I'm from.
Well, that's tough.
That's tough.
First of all, that's a complicated question.
That's tough. Like I said, Tennessee. I just said Tennessee. So, although whatever, I should have said the. So I didn't take the number.
She just said Buffalo to see her reaction.
When I said Tennessee, it made sense to her the way I'd screwed it up, right? Whatever.
Yeah.
But I do think that if I could wish for, in terms of the Memphis culinary scene for 2026, if I could get a great bagel place.
Yeah.
Right now, I just get bagels at Costco, which are pretty good.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know where they're better bagels. And they're nothing like Russ and Daughters. Or Cuban restaurant. That's what I would take. Cuban food is underrated and is spectacular. The low light, very clearly, was I was walking. We love our new neighborhood in Midtown. Just absolutely love it. But we were walking through Overton Park 2 days ago to get a zoo membership because we can now walk through the zoo.
Yes.
Like whatever. It's just our daily walk. And we were walking through Overton Park. And all of a sudden, bam, I'm hit by a bicycle. A bicycle guy ran over me and from behind. Now, I was slightly veering to the left to go look at the dogs in the dog and Overton Park, but like he just clobbered me. I went flying. He went flying. I have a giant gash on my leg, but I am.
Stitches?
No. Battered, okay. But unbowed. But it's a giant black and blue and a gash. And whatever.
Yeah.
I'm battered. And he went down and started screaming.
It was pain or screaming at you?
No, not at me. Claire was very clear on this. It was his fault. If you're on a bike in pedestrians,
right,
you shouldn't be going 20, flying past pedestrians and barreling into one.
Well, and also if he was behind you, he should have seen you.
Now, I did slightly veer. Would he have not? If I hadn't veered, would he have gone by me and missed me by 2 inches? Maybe. But, and he was not one of these spandex helmeted bicyclists like I am. He was a guy on a bike, no helmet, but he started screaming as if he'd broken his femur or something like that.
Right.
My leg, just screaming. People came to help, and they lifted him and carried him to a bench and called 911 or whatever. Now, the question is, in my situation, okay, I pull myself off. I'm bleeding different places, but I'm clearly not badly hurt, right? I sit to gather myself on the curb a minute. The question is, he is being attended to, and maybe he broke his femur and is in there. But honestly, it seemed like some histrionics from his part.
Sure.
He was being dramatic, honestly.
Yeah.
And he hit me. But also, he was being attended to. what is the right thing to do as the victim of that accident that I was, but there he was in clearly greater pain than I was. What is, but he's already, two or three people are attending to him. Do you, what do you do?
So
do you just walk off about your, do you pick yourself up, dust yourself off and go on your merry way? Do you go over and say, I'm sorry you hit me. I hope you're okay.
You did
you
say
go over
that
and
y'all
say,
called 911, correct?
That he was clearly, all of his needs were being met.
Okay, so I think that's the classic. You wait for the attention to get there.
And attention then was clearly there.
Okay, and then you're like, you kind of throw out that feeler, we good here?
I just,
you know what I mean?
I just left. I was not going to do anything. The only thing I could have done was to make myself feel better by going, say, hey, I hope you're okay. But also, like, he was being attended to. He hit me. There was nothing. I wasn't going to contribute to the cause there. But I felt bad. I didn't know what to say if I went over to Sam. I hope you're okay.
The only problem is I think you might have come to the wrong place because I am elite at figuring out we're good here. We can move on.
Well, that's what I did. I think we're good here. He's fine. We're going to move on.
I mean,
I didn't stay with him. I just certainly didn't stay with him, but I didn't go over and say, hope you're fine.
I mean, I reinvented Irish goodbyes.
It seemed like an awkward exchange. The guy barreled into me from behind.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think you can kind of say.
But I felt
Claire's
like a bad person walking away.
But Claire was with you, correct?
She was with me, and she was 100% clear that it was his fault.
I know, but what I'm saying is.
And that he was. She has a very high pain tolerance. She's a tough woman.
No, but my point is. When you're like, let's leave, did Claire give any resistance?
No, she was the one who was kind of more lobbying for Leah.
Then said, yeah. I think you are 1,000% in the clear. Like, I don't need, if Leah goes, let's go, you have never heard me go, are you sure?
Anyway, I do hope he's okay.
Sure. You never once said you didn't.
Didn't want him to get hurt, even. This is what happens. Listen, you run into me, you're going to pay the consequences.
Yeah.
All right. Also run into from behind the Memphis Grizzlies as they, I swear to God, this time, by the way, the last time the Grizzlies were in position to beat the Wizards and move to 500.
Yep.
I announced that on the radio.
Yes.
I said, oh, look here.
You looked into the future.
The Grizzlies are one game under 500. They have a chance to play the woeful Washington Wizards. They can move into 500 with a victory. This was the last time. And what happened, Jeffrey?
They lost.
They did. They lost.
At home.
Blew a 20-point lead.
Yes.
And I was accused of somehow, weirdly, that I would be the person, again, a victim, that I would be the person that you would point to as the reason for that loss. But I was accused on social media.
Why did you not get credit for getting him a 20-point lead?
It's a good, fine question. I was accused of jinxing it.
Mm-hmm.
So this time, when the Grizzlies were one game away from moving into 500 by beating the woeful Washington Wizards, did I say anything at all?
Not a word.
Was I even on the air?
Not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse.
Not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. I didn't breathe a single word of it. And nevertheless, without, this absolves me, I think, in the first loss, without any help from me, the Grizzlies went down to defeat once again, swept by the Wizards, 116-112. Dylan Brooks was there trying to, he was coaching up the Grizzlies. He was doing the best he could to help the cause, but they lose. And they're the real culprit, I guess, like whatever. The culprit is they didn't play well.
No,
like
this was one of those weird games.
I'll point to stats here in a minute, but they just played like crap. Like
it was one of those games where, and
back and forth.
I know you were watching the Bills, but like I had the Bills on TV one. And so you're watching it and you're like, I think they're okay. And then you look up again and they're down 10. And you're like, well, that's weird. Like it just didn't make.
I mean, this was a game in which Cam Spencer went 0-5 from 3.
Yeah.
There. That's what this game was. This is a game in which Ja was 21-7. Yeah, it's pretty good, right? 21-7.
3-5 from 3.
And 3-5 from 3. And while he was on the court, the Grizzlies were -22.
Yeah.
It's just like it was not. It was in no way, shape, or form an inspired effort. This was also a game in which they lose another player to injury.
Mm-hmm.
KCP did not play the second half of this game. It felt like both Ja and Coward on minutes restrictions. Either that or Isolo is weird, but I think it's minutes restrictions for them. And this is a game in which the lack of bigs, no Edie, no Landale. Landale with, of course, the ever-popular calf injury, soreness in the calf, in which they were not present. And so they gave up a whole bunch of offensive rebounds, 15 and 23 second chance points. They were out rebounded 54 to 43. That was really in a game in which no one could shoot well. The Grizzlies didn't shoot well. The Wizards didn't shoot well. It was not a an attractive basketball contest, particularly. It was really the rebounding that cost them. And so there you have it. After what was, in fact, kind of a promising performance against Milwaukee. Right?
Yeah, there in the building.
You were in the building.
Yes.
Did it feel like the worm had turned?
It really did, because the other thing was...
Good crowd.
Like, Aaliyah and I were, like, looking at each other, like, I mean, don't get me wrong, you weren't going to mistake it for a playoff crowd, but, like, you looked up in the terrace level, and you're like, good crowd.
Lively, engaged.
Lively crowd, fired up. Ja was back, and... they played well after the first quarter, and the crowd was into it. Like, it was a fun Friday night.
So what do you make of them now? Because here's the problem. Having had this opportunity to get to 500, and then without any help from me losing anyway, being swept by the Wizards... here's what's coming up next, Jeffrey. Sixers Tuesday. By the way, this is the actual NBC game. The other game was Peacock. That was a good
one. The Grizzlies played on NBC when they played the Spurs in San Antonio. It was like a Tuesday night.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Chris, I thought Chris's piece said it was their debut, but maybe not. So Sixers tomorrow at home. So that could be fun. Nice, hopefully a nice crowd, holiday crowd, right?
Correct.
Sixers tomorrow. We got after that two games against the Lakers,
right?
Who had been struggling. Then they got the Spurs at home, the Suns at home, and the Thunder at home. So again, it's Sixers, Lakers, Spurs, Suns, Thunder.
And the Lakers are at LA.
And those two are at LA. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'm going to offer you, Jeffrey, there are now two games below 500. That's some magic deal. Although, had they been 500, they would have tied the Warriors, also struggling. There are now two games below 500. I am going to offer you two wins out of the next six, which would make them four games under 500. Is that right? They would add another two, right? They would add another two. But
that would
still
put them at 17 and 21, yes.
Yeah. I'm gonna offer you, though, two wins between the Sixers, the Lakers, the Spurs, the Suns, and the Thunder. You can lock in two wins over that stretch, or you can take your chances.
I think I want to lock in the two wins because of what comes after.
I've only looked so far. I keep my horizon close. Although there's a bunch of tough games. Here's the truth, is the Grizzlies have benefited from a fairly soft schedule, which has been convenient given how diminished they've been, right? Hopefully,
given the personnel.
Hopefully what's going to happen here as the team returns to full health. How about that for a New Year's resolution? Full health. How about an injury report there? How about an injury report with nobody out?
Come on. You asked for too much.
There will not be that.
I would be curious to know if we ever get that the rest of the year.
Well, that's what I'm going to say. Will you, over the rest of the year, get a single injury report with nobody?
I'm going to bet no.
Probably not, because of this group, the latest to return, it feels like, will be Scottie Pippen Jr., right?
Yeah.
And then when he returns, you'll have, 10 games left. And so will you have... or something, not a lot of games left. And so
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Will you have any of those games where there is nobody out?
Well, and then on top of that, it's like, no. Are you really saying like some of these guys aren't going to tweak something else?
Yeah, they'll tweak something. They'll tweak. Yes, right. So, I think. Well, will they be? How many of those games will be? They won't be favored against the Lakers because they're on the road, right? They might be at home, right? When those Lakers games are on the road.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was close the last time.
Suns. How about Sixers and Suns? Sixers and Suns.
My gut says that the Sixers are going to be favored. I think the Sixers will be favored. It's a toss up, but like slightly favored, and then maybe the Suns at home. So maybe one.
So you'd take two. You'd lock in the two.
Yeah, because I think if you went 3-3, I would sit there and go.
You'd be dancing.
Yes. So you're going to offer me two to lock in. I can avoid the downside. I think I'll do that.
The good news, Jaren's continued to play well.
Yeah.
Jaren has continued to play well. And so that worry that, Jaren has just been diminished. He's a different basketball player than he has been his whole career. A theory of which I was always skeptical of. But Jason and John they were ready to trade him. He's turned into the basketball player he's always been, which is good. Good basketball.
Yeah, the only poor games he's played have been foul trouble.
All right, we are going to take a break. We got Chris Harrington straight up 10 o'clock. We'll resume talking about the Grizzlies with Chris, but we got other things to get to when we return. Some things we missed. We got upcoming bowl slate. We've got Kyle Whittingham to Michigan. We had an NFL schedule yesterday, full NFL
Boy, did
slate
we.
Yesterday. And how about them Giants pulling off the big win? We're going to take a break. Back in a moment on a Monday, 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Yes, we're working today, tomorrow, and the next day. Going to take New Year's off. Fish on Friday tomorrow, though. He'll be here. Didn't give him the week off. He demands his pay. He wants his pay no matter the week.
We'll double it.
We're going to double his pay.
Overtime
pay. A holiday OT for Fish on Friday on Tuesday. Chris Harrington coming up next. Before that, let's play Believe It or Not. This is the best week of the college football calendar.
I'm going to say I believe it. I really enjoyed the semifinals last year. The Final Four, if you will. I thought those were two really good games. I enjoyed that. I think the fact that we have improved the seeding aspect means that we've got four quarterfinals that I'm all interested in. And so if you're going to give me four possibly good games as compared to two, I'll take it.
All right, so the schedule, just in case y'all aren't paying attention out there. Wednesday night, we got Ohio State, Miami. And then Thursday, the three games, you got Texas Tech, Oregon. You got Alabama, Indiana. And you got Georgia and Ole Miss. You're exactly right that, well, first of all, the last round, predictably, sadly, you had two games that had great TV ratings and two games that had total lackluster. They were also on different networks,
correct,
as you point out. It wasn't
cable versus network.
Yeah, it wasn't just that one featured the group of five teams, but the two featured group of five teams. But those games did not.
And the other two went up against the NFL.
Right, and the other two went up against the NFL. The
NFL on network TV, on Fox.
Yeah. So, but these are all, I mean, they're all interesting games. They're all really interesting games. I would ask this, though. To me, the argument, again, you don't have these artificial buys and so these seeding questions, and so you got four really, four compelling games. Is it better than a great weekend in the fall, though? That's my only question. Like, can it even be better? Because, weirdly, we're still adjusting to the playoff system. We're still, you know, and so the games are all compelling. But is this better than a weekend in the fall when you wake up on a Saturday morning and it's game day and you're wherever, you know, in Tuscaloosa or Knoxville or is it really better than a great regular season college football weekend?
So you're clearly going to miss out on the element of the on-campus environments, which I definitely think is a right. huge part of college football. But how many true weekends are we going to get four games that
you don't
top
have many weekends
teams?
With four games as this good.
Correct.
There's no question. But you might have two this good or even three this good, certainly two this good, and 60 more games.
Yeah, you'd have and a lot of volume, which would also help out.
And in those games, all of a sudden, Penn State could use to lose to UCLA, which you would not have thought was
correct.
A great game.
You don't have.
I think a great fall weekend.
Now we do have a couple of good helmet games. So we've got Texas and Michigan. We've got Iowa at Vandy, which is Diego.
Oh, I see. Because I should discount the fact that we have some good games in this one, too.
Correct. I think Tennessee-Illinois could be a very interesting game in Nashville, so we've got that coming
true.
Up this weekend.
We got a full slate of other bowl games, including the AutoZone Liberty Bowl.
And we've also got Kyle Whittingham's last game as the Utah head coach.
He's not going to be coaching.
Oh, yeah. I guess he stepped down now. Well, it's going to be his last game.
They have let him out. No, haven't they let him out of coaching?
I think so. Now he's not going to coach.
He's not coaching. All right, of these games, we also have the question of last year, the teams that had the long bye.
Yes.
Got
they looked very rusty.
On the other hand, two of the teams that had the long bye were benefited from winning their conference and shouldn't have gotten the long bye to begin with. It was Boise and SMU?
No, SMU got smoked by Penn State. It was Georgia. Georgia also had the weird, remember we had the horrific terrorist attack in New Orleans on New Year's
right.
Day, and that moved the game from New Year's night to the second in the middle of the day. They were also playing with their backup quarterback, but Oregon was rewarded by having one of the great regular seasons with congratulations.
Right.
Here's Ohio State.
Yeah, so I am not persuaded that I think the fact that the long delay last year looked as bad as it did for those teams was an accident. And it was partly because of the seedings, they got the long delay, and it was partly because Oregon had to play Ohio State,
yep,
and they got the long delay. And so I don't know that we will discover that, you know, that the teams that have been sitting out are going to have paid that much of a price. Of these games, I think they're all pretty interesting. I think Miami's a 9.5-point favorite.
They're the biggest underdog, yeah.
Ohio State, but Miami hasn't lost a game by more than a touchdown in forever.
And they
got a defense to hang in there.
More importantly, the one thing that we haven't really seen Saiyan elevate, when he gets pressure in his face, he hasn't been awesome. He hasn't been terrible,
right?
And
I don't think Miami gets after. Going to turn out like Tennessee, Ohio State last year.
I would be surprised too.
And then you got Tech and Oregon, and that's it really interesting to me. Do people really believe in Tech?
I mean, the betting line suggests no, but I
think it should be a pick 'em.
I do too. And on top of that, like, I still don't love how Oregon's offense has looked. And that's not really a defense I want to go up against if my offense is kind of work in progress and they're trying to bring back some guys from injury. That's kind
of
tough to do.
Indiana.
The Battle of the Crimsons.
The battle of the most storied program in college football history, along with Notre Dame, one of the most storied.
Yes.
And the absolute most downtrodden, and yet the most downtrodden is favored in that one.
At one of the great settings in all of college football.
One of the great settings in all of college football. And then,
although I do think we got some
Georgia
rain.
And Ole Miss. If someone's going to get blown out, who's getting blown out?
I'm not – my gut says Miami only because when you look at – like, I just think about it. I'm an idiot, and I sit there and exactly think what you did. Miami's not been beaten by more than a touchdown against anyone. You're giving me 9.5. I'm going to take that all day. And then you can sit there and realize, like, oh, well, Carson Beck threw 4 picks against the defense.
The
and like
it's in the end up to Carson Beck.
Yeah.
Like, I think Miami can hang in there, but –
And if Miami can run the ball like they did against Texas A&M, like that's the one spot that Ohio State at times has been a little bit vulnerable defensively.
Speaking of running the ball, Ole Miss has struggled to stop the run. Georgia.
If you tell me that Kewon Lacy is hurt, and then all of a sudden, yeah. But the one thing I do think that is true about Ole Miss, I think that receiving core has been underrated all year. And I really do trust them. And it's tough to cover 4 guys. And I mean, they had a 2-score lead in Athens.
If they win, it is going to be another back and forth shootout.
Yeah. And they come up
to be a shootout.
And they come out on the right side.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win, only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Super fun game. Still with college football, Michigan lucked out with Kyle Whittingham in exactly the same way that Penn State lucked out with Matt Campbell.
I'm going to say I don't believe it because Matt Campbell's younger. And so, like, you can envision.
And Michigan would have hired, given the choice, Michigan would have hired Matt Campbell over Kyle Whittingham.
Yes, if they could have had it. I think they lucked out, though. Like, in the end,
good result for Michigan.
You have a very high floor coach that is going to build a program the same way that has been successful in Michigan, which is tough, be good on both lines of scrimmage, and you're not hiring a proven unknown or like.
Here, let me phrase it another way. Kyle Whittingham will beat Ohio State in at least one game while he is the Michigan coach.
I do believe that because I think the style of play that is going to give Ohio State troubles, the style of play he's going to do it. Does that mean he goes 1-4? Maybe, but I do think he's going to get them once.
Well, one of the issues with Kyle Whittingham, of course, is recruiting because just the way – and this was – the way that Utah was always built was we're going to get guys, we're going to develop them, we're going to keep them 4 years. I think there was 1 year that he was vaguely in the top 20 of recruiting, but mostly they were 50, 60, 70s of recruiting, whatever. This is in the pre-NIL era, and that's how they flourished. They developed guys. They got them to buy in. Sort of another version of what Nebraska used to be when Nebraska was good, maybe without the
Sarah's
weight room.
Mm-hmm.
And
the extra scholarships for
I used weight room in yeah. quotes. There were quotes around weight room. Anyway, and that's why, honestly, that's one reason why people were skeptical of him continuing at Utah, although I did read a column. Gordon Monson is the longtime columnist there in Salt Lake, and just ripped Utah for forcing him out. Like, in the end, this is one of these, they'd done the head coach in waiting thing. They'd promised someone the head coach. Kyle Whittingham had said, well, I'm going to coach till I'm 65 or whatever it was.
Yep.
And so he made the mistake. He said it in his Michigan press conference. I made the mistake of putting a date on it. And so then everyone was like waiting for him to leave. You're leaving? When are you leaving? You're leaving? When are you leaving? You're leaving? And so then they finally said, you got to go. He felt unappreciated, whatever. But he wasn't ready to stop coaching. And so, but to the extent that there was any complaint about him, and again, he bounced back from an off year 2 years ago, or the year before this, to another good year this year, was that he's never been a, like, the portal doesn't seem to come naturally to him. Not quite Mike Gundy, you know. Territory, but like the portal didn't, he would rail against it. And if you're going to flourish, you have to be getting great players out of the portal. Hell, the entire University of Memphis football team right now, it feels like, is in the portal, right? So can he adapt? Well, it makes it a lot easier to adapt when you have Michigan's payroll.
I would say, to me, it's always a question of coaches' resistance to the portal. Is it pragmatic
or is it institutional?
Correct.
That you don't actually, you don't have the resources
exactly.
to do this. And so with the resources to do this, will he be able to? And it'll start with, can he keep his own players?
Yes.
Right? I mean, that'll be.
That's question number one.
Question number one.
Can he keep his quarterback?
Can he keep his quarterback? Portal again opens on the second. In terms of the University of Memphis, while we're here, there's not a lot of news. The news such as there is that everyone's in the portal. If you are a Memphis football fan, are you worried?
No, I think this is just to be expected.
I think 100%. It's just to be it's literally.
By the way, you're going to get a lot of guys in the portal too.
Right, you're going to get a lot of guys in the portal. You're going to get a lot of guys from Southern Miss. They haven't announced any hires on the staff, but we know a bunch of them. And there's, you can read Frank Bonner's piece over the Daily Memphian. He's bringing the defensive coordinator, the defensive backs coach, the defensive line coach, the wide receivers coach, and the strength and conditioning coach from Southern Miss. From other schools, the OC, we mentioned this before.
Yep.
We took a break for Christmas, Kevin Decker, who was at Old Dominion. And the question there is whether Kevin Decker's quarterback, Colton Joseph, will come along from Old Dominion. I was reading a ranking of quarterbacks available in the portal, and he was ranked. Like,
yeah.
Neither of the Memphis Tiger quarterbacks who are in the portal
yeah.
were ranked, right? And he was ranked. He was at the very end, and it mentioned how Power Four schools were interested. Now, he wasn't a great thrower of the football, but he did have 1,000 rushing yards. Like, and so he's, and that offense was, I think, 19th in the country.
I mean, I think he was 10th in the country in total offense. While he's not like a prolific passer, he's not a turnover machine.
Right. Seventh best rushing offense in the country, 238.3 yards a game, and 454.7 total yards per game. That was 19th. In the country. So he's got from schools other than Southern Miss. Andy Kwan is the offensive line coach. He was at UCLA before that. He was at Arkansas State. And then notably, and again, we talked about this when it happened, Corey Phillips, the general manager who had been at Colorado but has ties to Tennessee. He had been at Memphis, at Vanderbilt as the assistant recruiting coordinator. And before that, he was an assistant at both Brentwood and Father Ryan. And so, again,
Brentwood Academy, I believe.
Yeah, Brentwood Academy. Is it Brentwood Academy?
I think it's Brentwood Academy.
So there you go. I find nothing at all to be worrisome in any of that. The Bills were right to go for two yesterday.
So I struggled with this one. I'm going to say yes, I believe that, simply because the reason they were in the position that they were was 5 minutes prior, Badgley had missed the extra point.
Right.
And to me, the calculus becomes a little bit different if he
missed. Sean McDonough included that in as the reasons why he did it. And I do think if you've got the way that it was phrased on Unsportsmanlike, the show that precedes ours, was, is there any player in the world who you would be more confident in getting 2 yards than Josh Allen?
Not many, if I can think of anyone.
It would be one hand, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, whatever, Lamar if you want, or whoever.
Not this Lamar.
Drake May, given this tree that he's this Drake May, but would you really choose? No. Great season, great game, everything else for Drake May.
Honestly, the only other guy might have been on the other sideline.
Oh, I can see that. Right. Yeah. So, and the throw was wide. The throw was open.
Wide open.
Obviously, he was feeling some pressure, but the throw was open. He's also, the other thing that might have played a role in it is Josh is 100% banged up. Like, he's got a x-rays, you know, on his foot. He's clearly wincing throughout the game.
He was not. He was clearly, in terms of the way that he moves, he was clearly.
And so hot. That Eagles team, and it's why, by the way, well, let's be honest. I don't particularly wager, but I would have put a large amount of money on the Eagles because they, and even, well, here's a question. Before the season began, you would have absolutely imagined, if I had said either the Eagles or the Bills are going to be in the Super Bowl, yes or no, you get to wager on it. Yes or no, you just have to be right. Would you have voted yes? Would you have said yes?
Probably, because I was still pretty confident. I'm still not ready to give up on the Eagles.
On the Eagles. That's the thing.
In the NFC.
And I still am not, because I think that,
totally,
you know, it's a little bit like they've got that 4-man rush, sacked them 4 times. They generate heat from, like,
and I
all
think
the
their
offense has to do is
get Lane Johnson back,
make a few plays, and obviously get the offensive lineman back. And so I don't give up on the Eagles. The Bills, they would have to win 3 road games. They're deeply flawed. They have not won a single road game in the playoffs under Sean McDermott. They're 0-5.
So isn't, though, that's the Texans game that they blew that you were in the building for.
Yeah.
And isn't that 4 Kansas City games?
Probably 4 Kansas City games. Yeah. Is it? No. Well, the Cincinnati game was home. Yeah. Cincinnati loss was home.
But I thought you said other losses.
No, you're right. I think you're right. So you're right. So it's probably right. It's probably Chiefs. And did they lose on the road anywhere else?
I know they lost at the Texans, Josh's first playoff game. They were up 17-0.
But anyway, he's banged up. One interesting question will be, will he play a snap next week against the Jets? And you would think not. Like, it just doesn't matter.
Well, my suspicion is he'll take the first snap.
Well, that's the thing. It's also the last game in that stadium.
Yeah.
And so I would think he would take a snap just to play in the last game in that stadium. My brother-in-law is, you know, flying home, is going home from Detroit. He lives in Detroit, but he wants to be in the building for the last game in that stadium. And so so I would think he would take at least a symbolic snap. But at this point, you just want him healthy. And so I had no problems with them going for two. All right, and then last one, last believe it or not, there is no Memphis Sports Person of the Year.
I'm going to say I believe that, but I'm willing to accept I'm wrong.
Well, listen, if someone has a suggestion that we haven't thought of for Memphis Sports Person of the Year, You can tweet me. You can't tweet Jeffrey. He lost Twitter.
I'm in jail, I guess, forever.
But you can tweet me at Jeff, G-E-O-F-F, underscore Calkins, C-A-L-K-I-N-S. But you just go through the candidates. Okay. Is there a Memphis Tiger basketball player? Well, there's certainly not one off this year's team. And you can't say there's Penny. And so then last year's team, I mean, you could say P.J. Haggerty, but you can't make someone the sports person of the year, as great as he was, when they, when he took the money and left. After, you just can't. You can't. There's no argument for P.J. Haggerty.
I mean, the only argument
is P.J. Haggerty had delivered a Final Four and then taken the money and left, but he lost in the first round of the tournament, and then he took the money and left.
Yeah.
There is no argument for P.J. Haggerty or for any other Memphis basketball player. Okay, Memphis football player. They just wasn't that good. Like, Brandon Lewis was good. Like, I guess, like, he was good. He was good. He was gutty.
But he was fine.
He was fine. Come on, man. What are we doing here? That's a team lost, you know, every game down the stretch. And so then you've got the Jason and John suggestion, which is Hunter Yurachek. But
right.
That's just and true. Like I agree with that. Thank God for Hunter Yurachek. I don't know that they're going to be better with Charles Huff, and that's just too snarky. It's too, like, I admire the creativity of that proposal in a time when we don't have anyone else. But no, okay. So now we go to Grizzlies. Not Ja. Like, Jaren, with his comeback, signed a new deal. He's got whatever. Like, no. No.
It's just tough to give anyone because they collapsed so badly.
Yeah, and he's...
They went from post-All-Star break being second in the West to having...
What did Jaren do that was so great? Jaren was... Jaren... He was in line to get a Supermax, but he wasn't on any of the...
You correct. Know, well, like, he couldn't. He
collapsed down the stretch himself.
After Wimby was going to be.
We're just glad that Wimby, he's.
Yeah. After Wimby's injury, Jaren was the favorite to be Defensive Player
just
of the Year.
Not. Just no. No. We can't give it to Jaren.
Cedric
Cam
Coward?
Spencer's kind of. Cedric's refreshing.
But that does feel. That feels like a stretch.
Sportsman of the Year. Total stretch. Not Kleiman, not Isolo. Parra hasn't signed the lease.
Right.
Can't do anyone there. And so then you're left with Brooks. Brooks. And, Brooks. Brooks has done a magnificent job.
No question.
He is the one who has elevated his program. All the other programs, let's be honest, this year in Memphis sports has sucked. I don't think I'm being too dramatic here. And not only that, if you look where we were last January 1, you had were the Tigers nationally ranked basketball team January 1? Probably.
Yes. I think they spent almost every week.
Tigers were nationally ranked. Grizzlies were second in the West, right? And the football team was headed into a year where they were first, when the first time they did the playoff rankings, they were in the rankings.
Correct.
Right? All three freaking collapsed. Look at what Memphis Tiger basketball is now. Memphis Tiger football collapsed down the stretch, and Memphis and the Grizzlies collapsed. This was the year of the collapse. This was the year of the collapse, right?
I think that's right. I guess sucked feels too extreme for me, but wildly unsatisfying. Because, like,
literally, the way we measure sports is whether you meet expectations, right?
Yeah.
And the expectations for all of those programs were there weren't any Larry Porter years.
Yeah.
Right? There was nothing that was just bad from beginning to end. Although this Memphis Tiger basketball season, not the year, when we're talking about the whole year, the year had a lot of good in it.
Yes.
The high points of the year, there were high points of the year. The high points of the year included the win over Arkansas in football, the win over Southern Miss in football, back when the Grizzlies were rolling, you know, once upon a time at the beginning of last year, very clearly winning the conference championship, the conference tournament in basketball. Those were high points. But in the end, it was a deflating year.
Yes.
And I don't think any, except for Brooks. Brooks is the only one who exceeded expectations.
Yes. Because they have a hard job.
He has a really hard job, and what he's done with that job is incredible.
Correct.
And but it's also against the backdrop of, and if there's someone else out there, we'll take off the board suggestions too, like someone that we're literally not thinking about. We'll take that as well.
Because I don't think anyone won the state in high school, right?
Is that true?
I think Southland got beat in the semis.
Football, basketball, did we get a basketball champion last? Probably. Did we?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.